Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So
time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It's great to be with you guys. I just got off the mountain, drove home from Tahoe, spent some time with the family, which was awesome. And I get home, and there's all this new news. Coaching changes, people that we thought would be getting promotions, not with the team anymore. So coaching changes galore. We got a new, you know, not a new addition, but a free agent signing, Ben Bartsch. Going to talk about that. Have a lot of questions that I want to get through, but I want to spend the majority of the first part of this episode talking about the coaching changes for the 49ers. A lot of shakeups. It's interesting to me, okay? Probably the thing that's going to get most of the news, Brian Griese is no longer on the 49ers coaching staff. Brian Griese is no longer on the 49ers coach. This is somebody that was getting head coaching interviews and turning them down literally 3 weeks ago. Head coaching NFL jobs. Now he's just out. I have some theories on why that is. Again, just theories. I'm not an insider. I don't have sources. I ain't bringing sources. Even whenever I talk to people that have information, I do not bring that to the show because I don't want to be that guy. So we're not going to do that. But whenever we look at the new coaching names and kind of what has happened with these titles, I think we get a pretty damn clear picture of what's happening in the 49ers draft. Now, here's my overall kind of view on all these coaching changes. I think we have like 9 new coaches and new opportunities and new, you know, placements. I love the shakeups. I really, really do. Yeah, am I shocked Brian Griese's out? Yes. But 2025 sucked, and it would have been really, really easy to just blame it on the injuries, which they were doing in the press conferences, and just, hey, let's bring everybody back like Nick Bosa wanted, like Fred Warner wanted, and you could have done that. Kyle Shanahan's not doing that. John Lynch is not doing that. No, they are making changes, and I love that because, again, you could have just said, you know what, we like our roster, we like what we've done in the past, we're just going to stick with what we got. We really think it was the injuries. That doesn't seem to be what's coming across. Again, you fired your defensive coordinator. You fired your special teams coordinator. And now you have coaching changes all over the place. And, yeah, Oscar right here. Word is Griese is prepping for head coach options in 2026. That's fine. But if you look at who the assistant head coaches are and where the titles are, I think that's where the story is, Oscar. And, again, yeah, definitely disagree with, you know, whatever, but I'll tell you right now. So right off the bat, probably my least favorite move that was made. Chris Forster is now the assistant head coach. He was the run game coordinator. Now he's the assistant head coach. I hate that. In my personal opinion, I thought Chris Forster might have had the worst coaching performance of his entire career. I haven't followed it at all. He's been around for a long time, but since he's been with the Niners, I don't think one offensive lineman improved last year. Not one. Not one. You could say, well, Dominic Pooney was incredible. Yeah, he's new. He's a rookie. But yeah, that was awesome. But obviously, McKivitz, not his best year. Aaron Banks, his worst year. Jake Brendel, his worst year. Trent, you know, that's different. The one person that I think you could say that did improve was Jaylon Moore, who filled in for Trent. But the fact that Forrester got this promotion, I just don't understand what he did to deserve that. I love Chris Forrester. He's my favorite coach behind the mic at the podiums and the press conferences. I love that. He got taken to the woodshed consistently. Consistently. And so I don't like that. Now, the other assistant head coach is Gus Bradley. He's the assistant head coach of the defense. So now you have two assistant head coaches. That's kind of the big ones. Then, if you look at kind of some of the other stuff that took place, Clay Kubiak gets the offensive coordinator role. I think that's what Greasy wanted, the coordinator or the assistant head coach, and he didn't get either. This isn't the first time that this has happened with Shanahan. It happened with John Embry as well, the beloved John Embry. Whenever he was the assistant head coach tight end, they pulled it from him, gave it to Anthony Lynn. Embry got upset, so they fired him. He left. Like, Shanahan, he does not mind confrontation at all. And if you challenge him, you best not miss. You come for the king, you best not miss. Because he would, you know, everybody's expendable. Everybody is expendable. They'll move. Like, I don't think that a lot of people understand, like, man, coaching rooms, they are rough. It's rough out there in these coaching streets, man, at any level. And you get these big egos at play, and you test a theory, or you step on some toes the wrong way, you gone. It's not just about quality coaches get promotions all the time. And I don't know what the story is, Brian Greasy, but the fact that he's not one of the assistant head coaches, he's not the offensive coordinator, those were given out to Chris Forrester and Kubiak. I guarantee you, Greasy's like, what the hell, man? Why am I not one of these? And I think that's what happened. And they moved on. And I wish nothing but the best for him. He's the Brock Purdy guy that, you know, kind of all the people say he was the one pounding the table for Brock. Well, we appreciate you. Enjoy building your head coaching campaign list. Peace. He's not the only coach that I think is gone. Now, one of my favorite coaches was Bullock's, our DB coach. Well, there's a new DB coach. So, like, has he been moved? But Ray Brown is now the defensive back and cornerbacks coach. So, we haven't heard anything about Bullock's. I don't know what's happening there. That's a question mark that needs to be answered. That, again, like, you read through the lines and you're just like, oh, what's happening here? But, I don't know. And shout out to Ray Brown. I'm pretty excited just for what he brings. A bunch of my coaching buddies played college football with him. So I reached out to them and told me, but they're like, great guy at ECU, man. And so shout out to that dude. I'm excited to see what he can bring. A lot of experience. Anyway, I'm already off my notes right here. I need more news on KJ Wright. So the 49ers put out this post where it said, here are the new coaching, whatever. It does not detail the entire coaching staff. So, like, there's a lot of, like, wait a second, this person's not saying. It only talked about the new coaches and coaches in new roles. So, like, promotions and all that stuff. So, there's still a lot of, like, hey, you left some out. We're having to interpret this right now. 49ers are not known for their press releases in print and being clear at all. you got to get out the tarot cards to understand what the hell they're trying to put out there sometimes. But that's okay. Anyway, let's go through. These are the staff changes that we have. Okay. Colt Anderson. He is the new special teams, assistant to special teams. I love this. He was the Titans special teams coordinator last year. So we already have more experience. Actually, we had a very experienced special teams coordinator last year. He just sucked. So like getting an assistant special teams coordinator that has been a full-time coordinator, I think that's huge. Ronald Blair, the 49ers stud. I really liked him out of App State. He's the special teams quality control. Again, just bolstering all brand new stuff. And have to say, credit to Ron Bear, one of my favorite players when he was with the Niners. Loved how he played until he tore his ACL on a sack against Russell Wilson. I remember the play just like it was yesterday. It's his second year with the 49ers coaching staff, right? He was one of the Bill Walsh diversity coaching hires, and I freaking love that. I hope the NFL keeps that. I hope the 49ers keep that because, man, you just bring new talent in. Nobody loses. Shout out to freaking Ronald Blair. I hope that he just stays, you know, with the Niners for a long time. That he's a great dude. Gus Bradley, again, like we talked about, assistant head coach of the defense. Again, we're going through the order that the 49ers press release was, which is crazy. Ray Brown, we talked about. Again, what the heck is happening with Bullocks? That dude was interviewing for DC jobs for us last year, and now is he gone? I don't know. I'm a little worried. Maybe he's just the safeties coach. That's what I'm hoping for. I don't want Bullocks gone. I think he's a young, promising head coach that brings a lot of energy. And, man, he's a worker. He's a worker. Joe Graves is going to be offensive assistant and quarterbacks coach. Joe freaking Graves. He's been with the 49ers for a minute. Patrick Hagerdorn, chief of staff for football. This dude has been around for a long time. And whenever you look, like, he just keeps getting promoted. He's been with the 49ers for 9 years. This is Patrick Hagerdorn. He's chief of staff of football operations. 9 years with the Niners. And just, man, he's getting promoted every other year. Another name just to stick with, probably a future front office type guy. But these guys that just keep getting promoted, take note of those guys. One of my favorite coaches on the staff, Leonard Hankerson, baby. This guy, 5 seasons with the Niners. He's been the wide receiver coach. He's no longer the – now he's the pass game specialist. So Forrester got bumped up, and now Hankerson got bumped up. So I think that's a big one. You talk about the guys that Shanahan kind of wants to work with. He coached them, obviously. He's been with the Niners for a long time. They moved off of Wes Welker to get room for Hankerson, and he has thrived. He really, really has. And Shanahan just keeps promoting him. Keeps promoting him. Andrew Hayes Stoker, he's the offensive assistant and wide receivers coach. You know, he's been with the 49ers for 4 seasons, but just got a promotion. Clay Kubiak's now the offensive coordinator. That's the big one. We knew that was coming, but Shanahan hasn't had offensive coordinators. This is in a move, an effort to keep Kubiak here so that he doesn't go and be an OC somewhere else. Now, is he going to call plays here? No. Shanahan will call plays as long as Shanahan wants to. That's not going to change. That's not going to change. Mick Lombardi. Let's go. Nepo babies unite. Team Nepo. Mick Lombardi has been around for a long time. He's been with the Niners for 6 seasons. He was actually with the Niners under Jim Harbaugh. Shout out to Steph Sanchez, 49 Carats Podcast. She's great. She put this out. Mick Lombardi was the assistant to Jim Harbaugh back in 2013 with the Niners. Obviously, Michael Lombardi's son. And so, yeah, Nepo babies. Hey, man, this roster is peppered with them. It's what it is. Jake Lynch, talking about Nepo babies. This is John Lynch's son. John Lynch's son is now a defensive quality control coach. He was on Washington last year as a GA, University of Washington, Huskies, right? Now he's with us. Nepo babies unite. We got them all. We got them all. Greg Scruggs, assistant defensive line coach. Jacob West Webster, offensive quality control coach. That's a lot of coaching changes. Now, not a lot of new faces. Gus Bradley's new. Ray Brown's new. Let's see. Colt Anderson's new. Greg Scruggs, our assistant D-line coach, was with Sala 2 years ago in New York. Now you bring him in as an assistant. That's huge, but he's a new guy. Jake Lynch is new, but he's been around the 49ers with his dad. Jacob Webster, he's been with the Niners for 3 years now. So you're getting an influx of some new coaches, which I do like. And again, would have been so easy just to sit back and say, injuries are why last year sucked. We fixed those. We're going to be fine. Everybody's getting healthy. All those things. But yeah, probably the biggest news, Emmanuel. He says, what's your greasy theory? I think you wanted a promotion. I think hot heads took place. And he said, fine, I'm going to go somewhere where I could either call plays, I could be an assistant head coach, or I could be an offensive coordinator. You know, I think it's one of those. He didn't get that. He gave it to Chris Forster. Gave it to Clay Kubiak. That's what it is. And now Mick Lombardi is our new, what it is. Right here, keep forgetting, is Frank Gore still part of the same coaching position? Frank Gore's with the front office personnel grouping. He's in the scouting department. So he's not quote unquote a coach, but if Frank Gore talks to you as a running back, you sure as hell listen. But yeah, he's part of the scouting department. These are coaching changes and whatever else that we have heard. So that's a little bit different. But yes, as far as I know, he is still 100% in that role, and I'm sure he can have that role for the rest of his life or work his way up, which is, if you know anything about Frank, he's a worker. That's what it is. Now, real quick, before I move on to Ben Bartsch to talk about that, this Thursday, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we're going to have our Zoom hangout, our Jerry Rice tier Zoom hangout. If you've never joined one of these, we do it once a month. And this month's been crazy with the Altadena fires and my whole schedule is just a mess, but whatever. So this Thursday at 5:30 p.m., we are going to be having our Zoom hangout. I haven't posted it on the Patreon channel and I haven't posted it on the 49ersrush.com yet. I will be doing that once this episode is finished. I got to make the links and generate all that stuff. So that's going to be Thursday at 5:30 if you want to join us. Man, it's just such a good time. We get together, we talk, grow the community. I get to hear from you. And if you're one of those people that you don't want to be you want to be in the conversation, but you don't want to participate, man, you turn your camera off, mute your mic, and you can just sit back and enjoy. You can type in your comments if you want to, but it's nice to see y'all's pretty faces every now and then. And I get to hear from you guys. So go to the 49ersrush.com, sign up there. Jerry Rice tier and above takes part in the Zoom hangout sessions that we do every month. And we have a 7-day free trial. So you can go sign up right now and join for free. And then if you like it, stick around, support the show. That's how I feed the family. And if not, hey, you move on and cancel. Won't cost you a penny. 7-day free trial up on there. The49ersrush.com. Go check that out. Please, please, please. All right. Let's get to the player side.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ben Bartsch has been signed to a one-year deal for the 49ers. I love this. What's up, Yacek? He says, great time. Always appreciate you, Yacek. You the man. I love this deal. Ben Bartsch should have started all year for the 49ers over Aaron Banks. Aaron Banks is not a good offensive guard, especially if he's not 100% healthy, and he hasn't been healthy in 2 years. Again, why I struggle with Chris Forster so much, and I love that people get promotions, but he did not earn that promotion in my own personal opinion. Disagreements are great. Aaron Banks goes down. You put in Ben Bartsch, 100% better. Then Aaron Banks gets the job back. Then you put in Spencer Burford, way better. Then you give it back to Banks. Then he gets hurt. Then Nick Sekale gets it, way better. Three backups, not one, not two, but three backups outperformed the last year and a half of Aaron Banks. And then you've got Chris Forster talking about, oh, man, Aaron Banks getting better and better and better. But that did not show on tape at all or in the games. I struggle with the roster evaluation, the talent evaluation. Yeah, and we keep saying this. The problem of the 2024 49ers, thankfully in the past, injuries were a major part, weren't the main part. It was lack of talent evaluation. Lack of talent evaluation and poor coaching. Those are the number one. Injuries, that's cool. For a lot of people, you're going to put injuries one. That's fine. I'm telling you, horrible DC, horrible special teams coordinator, terrible offensive line play. Terrible. Terrible, terrible. Now, if you want to get into whose fault all those things were, yeah, I understand that. That's fair route to go down. But bringing Ben Bartsch back, I fully expect him to be the starter week one. I don't care who you draft. Maybe Tyler Booker, offensive guard that you plug into the first round. But, yeah, you don't draft Tyler Booker with the 11th pick. Would he be worth it? Sure, but I don't think the Niners will. There's a lot of guards under contract. You got Spencer Burford, who we just talked about. You got Ben Bartsch to a one-year deal. You have Nick Sekale. Man, there's not much room. That's three guys fighting for that left guard spot. I'd prefer all three of them over Aaron Banks, so do not bring back Aaron Banks. Don't touch that. There's no need to. But if you are one of the ones that's like, man, let's draft the Trent Williams replacement, almost every single guy, whether it's Will Campbell, whether it's Josh Simmons in the injury, which I doubt, whether it's Kelvin Banks Jr. or Armand Impo, everybody's like, oh, you kick him to left guard first, and then eventually. Well, this kind of puts a little bit of a wrinkle in that whole narrative because you can't do that now. Well, I mean, I guess you can, but you just brought back Ben Barch. I'd like to see the deal. We don't have the numbers out yet. I doubt it's going to be for a lot of money. What did he sign for? Let's look this up. What did Ben Barch sign for last year? He was coming off some injuries. Yeah, he signed a one-year, $1.1 million deal. That's what he was on in 2024. He came here on a one-year deal. I bet it's going to be a little bit more than that. I'd probably say 1.5 would be my guess. But again, where the guarantees and all that stuff, he had zero fully guaranteed money on his last year deal. Probably a little bit more added on to that. But this is one of those cheap. Look, this is how the Niners handle moving into the draft and free agency. We're going to plug all these holes so that we don't have to draft anybody. And the rookies will have to earn their role. They'll have to earn. They'll have to beat out all these guys. If they want those spots, they will plug all these holes. Now, there's still lots more holes. Cornerback 3, linebacker 2, wide receiver with, you know, as long as Ayuk's out, safety number 2, like both defensive tackle jobs. Number 3 defensive. There's holes all over this roster, and they're going to fortify those during this time period. Now that you've got the coaching changes taking place, I expect some more news. Combine started. I expect more news. It's going to be interesting. And yeah, Jedi, I'm with you right here. I'm ready for new blood and new uniform numbers. I always get excited about that. But yeah, I've not seen the numbers. I don't think anybody's reported this. I'm looking at SpoTrack and Over the Cap, and they don't have anything on it yet. So I don't know any of the numbers on the Ben Barch still, and I haven't seen any. But 49erscap.com, it's not on there. So yeah, we don't know what those are yet. The money will tell you a little bit, but I love the fact that the 49ers have these three guys. You have such guard depth. You have four guards. Now, Nick Sakel could play center. Ben Barch could play center. Spencer Burford's never taken snaps at center. I don't think he is. Dominic Pooney's going to stay at right guard. I would not change him. You have a Pro Bowl level right guard coming in the second year. Allow him to grow. Allow him to grow. Allow him to see kind of what that is. Ah, man, I'm excited. I like this. But, man, that's a lot of, like, the 49ers are getting light on roster positions on the offensive line. You only carry 8. That's it. In season. You carry 8 linemen active on game day. Look at the 49ers roster right now, okay? Yeah, you're starting 5, all right? You've got Trent Williams. You've got Ben Barch. Got to go with the damn center. That's what I would replace if I was in charge, but I'm not the GM. But Jake Brindle's going to be on this damn roster. Pooney and then Colton McKivitz. That's 5. That means you get to bring 3 more. We don't have a swing tackle. And then that means 2 interior guys. Nick Sakel and Spencer Burford. That's 7. So you need that number 3 tackle who you don't even have on your roster right now, unless you believe in Austin Pleasance is that guy. I don't think that they do. Drake Nugent, does he get a chance to step up? Like, man, there's not a lot of offensive line space on this 49ers roster to carry into game day. You're looking at maybe one spot. So let's say the 49ers draft a center in the second, third, fourth, fifth round. Does that kick Zakel out? Does that kick Burford out? The numbers are finite. And the thing that scares me the most is I sat through so many post-draft press conferences, and you hear Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch echo this in unison. We just didn't think that they could beat out the guys we already have. That scares me. The Ben Barch signing is positive, but man, you just start looking at those spots left on the musical chairs department, and man, there's not a lot of spots left to add to this offensive line. You're going to get a tackle. Well, that's your 8 right there. So whoever you draft has to beat out Spencer Burford or Nick Sakel. Period. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. So if you're gonna draft somebody, they got to do something right here. They don't draft centers. Yeah, and they don't draft corners before the third round until last year, right? They don't draft safeties before day three until Jair Brown. Calchipto, obviously, I know you know what you're talking about, and I do not disagree with you. They don't draft centers. But they always draft guys with the opportunity to play center. And, yeah, I didn't even talk about Matt Hennessy. Is he going to be competition for Jake Brendel? Well, if that's the case, now you've got six interior offensive linemen. Yeah, right here. Thank you, Strawberry. I said it, then I saw it. And I've said this a few times. Strawberry's I've got a couple burner accounts that I think like I do. Strawberry Reacts is definitely one of them. I would take Matt Hennessy in a heartbeat over Jake Brendel. In a heartbeat. I'd take anybody over Jake Brendel just because the upside is completely limited. He's 32 years old, has no strength to him, and he's the softest center I've ever seen play in the history of the NFL. History. I can't stand people that would refuse to block to the whistle and stop watching your damn players. Stop turning around and watching your players play football. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I'm not a Jake Brendel guy. Everybody knows that. and yeah, Josh, Brendel is starting, sadly. I agree with you. Jake Brendel is going to be the starter week one. Maybe if you draft like Grace Bell in the second round of pick 43, if he falls that far. God, I hate it. And so whenever I saw the Ben Barch news, I was just like, ooh, yeah. Here we go. Getting some depth. I like it. Should have started all year. But then it started playing the numbers game, and it's just like, we're running out of room. we need more room. And it's just like, man, whoever they get, they better be high on because they're going to have to beat out some of those interior guys. And whether you're a guard 2B center or a tackle 2B center, man, drafting somebody like a Jake Majors who's like a center-only prospect, damn, that means you're cutting Spencer Burford or you're cutting Matt Hennessy or you're cutting Nick Sakel. I'm not sure Chris Forster has the power. I think he has the power. I don't know if he has the gall to do that. That dude is so loyal to a fault to his players that he can't see who's the best. He really can't. Again, Chris Forster's awesome. But, man, not whenever it comes to recognizing who can't play well. He will stick with the worst player ever because he loves them. And it's good that he loves them. He builds those relationships and all that stuff. But, yeah, Brendel is a damn liability, has been now for 3.5 seasons. Niners won't draft a center regardless. Ah, I hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. Hate. Ah. Yeah, Forster loves Brendel. Yeah, it bothers me. What's up? what the heck is that? the chat is going great. Anyway, all right. Now, a couple things I want to talk about real quick. Let's jump into, I tell you what, this is going to take a while. I've had this on the notes for a while, talking about Colston Loveland versus Tyler Warren, and I went on this insane deep dive, which I really, really enjoyed, comparing tight ends the past three drafts that fit Colston Loveland's profile and that fit Tyler Warren's profile to try to see if I'm missing something. And all statistics and whatever validate usually your bias anyway. It's just what happens. This was, it was pretty bad. I was like, man, I really am looking for stuff to disagree with me. It didn't. So that's what we're going to dive into next. But if you think you know who's going number one first in the NFL draft, man, right now, you can still get positive money on Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter going number one overall over my bookie, and I think that's insane. The NFL season may be done, but betting with my bookie, which has been going on for 10 years now, is still in full swing. You want to bet the NFL draft? You think you know who's going to go first overall? Is it going to be Abdul Carter, the star pass rusher? Or is it going to be a quarterback, Cameron Ward, Shedeur Sanders? Head over there, and you can make that prediction now. Those bets are already up. Your big basketball guy. Who's going to make the playoffs after the trade deadline? A lot of big trades took place. Head over there. Who's going to make the playoffs? You can bet individual games, parlay, whatever it is you want to do. Head to mybookie.ag. Use promo code 49ers or scan this QR code to my right. And you will get 50% deposit bonus on your very first deposit. And they have everything, whether you want to do casino bets, live casinos, lotto racing, you name it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with my bookie. All right, let's talk tight ends. Probably one of the favorite, like, luxury or out-of-pocket Shanahan picks at number 11 is Tyler Warren, tight end at Penn State, who is awesome. He is such a fun prospect. Gigantic, versatile, former quarterback. Just, man, he's just awesome. And he is worthy of a first-round grade. Now, I have been kind of pushing against this movement. One, because I would not draft a tight end that high. Two, we already have our tight end. And I want George Kittle to be with the 49ers for the next 3 to 4 seasons. The only reason why you draft a tight end early in the first round is if he's going to be your go-to guy right off the bat. I don't think the 49ers possess that. So I'm not a pro Colston Loveland guy at 11. I'm not a Tyler Warren guy at 11. However, this makes for a very interesting debate. And this feeds into my draft philosophy on the 49ers, period, at the tight end position. And I think almost all, not even, you can remove the 49ers, whatever. All right, cool. Let's talk Tyler Warren. Let's talk Colston Loveland. Now, let me get my bias out of the way. I have Colston Loveland as the better tight end. I like it. Tyler Warren might finish number 3 on my list. Doesn't mean I don't think he should go in the first round. I have 3 elite tight ends in this draft. Harold Fannin Jr. being a part of that, but I digress. This is a Loveland versus Warren debate. Now, I get 100-plus DMs, emails. Hey, what do you think about Tyler Warren at 11? He's that movable chess piece. He could be that X factor, all that stuff. Cool, cool, cool. No problem with any of those things. My favorite thing about Tyler Warren, his size. That dude is a freaking behemoth. 6'6". Now, again, this is prior to the combine. 6'6", 260. I mean, he's huge. He's huge. Now, neither Colston Loveland or Tyler Warren are good blockers. Like, again, you ask somebody, talk to me about Travis Kelce, talk to me about George Kittle, who's the better all-around tight end. The conversation's over as soon as you say all-around, right? Travis Kelce's great, and he's going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer, and rightfully so. He's earned that for what he's done in the playoffs. He's great. But you can't ask Travis Kelce to do what George Kittle does. They don't ask him. You watch the play of the Super Bowl where you watch everybody run around and literally took 3 steps on a 7-second play. That happens. George Kittle's never going to be that. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. But he's not the focal point of a passing tree either. But I think he could be. Anyway, all that being said, neither Tyler Warren nor Colston Loveland are anywhere near George Kittle. Ever, ever, ever. Ever. They're so far. They're not good blockers. Both subpar blockers, actually, below average, just with the small sample size of tight ends. And again, you know, we put out this awesome freaking draft guide over on our channel. And so, again, if you're 49ersrush.com or our Patreon page, like, you can just sort this by, like, run blocking grade. And, like, both of them, Colston Loveland, let's see here. His run blocking grade is 54.6. Not good. Tyler Warren, 52.8, both in the bottom 50%, not elite at all whenever it comes to run blocking. So everybody talks about this movable, dynamic chess piece. You get the ball in his hands, great things can happen, all right? So tight ends, the hardest to translate to the NFL. So here's what I did. I went through and looked at the tight ends that fit Colston Loveland, who is a better route runner, way better hands. My favorite thing about Colston Loveland is he makes very, very difficult passes and routes look routine and easy. Just the quarterback, get it close, he's going to deliver every time. Every time. Best route runner, maybe not, but he's up there. Way better than Tyler Warren. Way better hands. And the dude is just a gamer. Whenever the game matters, Colston Loveland delivers. Third down, fourth downs, like that's where he is. Now, Tyler Warren. You got to get the ball to him, and you have to scheme that open. He's not nearly as good a route runner. He doesn't have near as good as hands. He's got good hands, and he uses his size to his advantage. But, like, this dude's not a great route runner. Maybe that changes. Maybe it does. But, like, you have to scheme him kind of like Debo. You have to manufacture ways to get him the ball. Colston Loveland, you just call your play. He's going to run it. It's going to work. You got to work for Tyler Warren. Now, Kyle Shanahan, he could do that. So here are 2022, 2023, 2024. I went through and all the tight ends that fit one or two of these athletic profiles, good route runners, smaller size, versus the big, gigantic behemoth, and a lot of these guys are great blockers. How have they done, and every situation is different, just from the passing dynamic side of the ball. Okay, here we go. 2024. I have three gigantic tight ends: Ben Sinnott, Tip Ripman, and Theo Johnson. Okay, again, this is just last year. Versus two route running, good hands, tight ends: Brock Bowers and Jatavion Sanders. Okay, here we go. Ben Sinnott, 5 catches last year. Tip Ripman, huge, 6 catches last year. Theo Johnson, 29 receptions. He's probably the best of the bunch last year. Now, Brock Bowers, that's going to skew everything, but whatever, 112 catches. Yeah. Jatavion Sanders, 33 catches. He missed like half the season. Still, production went to the route runners. That's what it went to last year. Let's go to 2023 draft. Here's your three gigantors: Michael Mayer, Darnell Washington, Payne Durham. Okay. Four route running specialists, smaller size tight ends: Dalton Kincaid, Sam Laporta, Luke Schoonmaker, who, again, Loveland replaced him at Michigan, and Josh Weil, who I was huge on. I love Josh Weil in Tennessee. Okay, the big guys. Michael Mayer, pretty solid 48 catches. Like, was he worth the second round pick? No. They drafted another tight end the next year, but whatever. Darnell Washington, 26 catches, solid. Payne Durham, 16 catches. Now, they've had 2 years, right? Well, let's look at the other ones. Dalton Kincaid, route runner hands, 117 catches. Sam Laporta, route runner good hands, 146 catches. Luke Schoonmaker, 35 catches. Josh Weil, 37 catches. Like, it's not even close. That's back-to-back years. The route running tight ends translate to instant production way faster. All right, let's go back to 2022. Only one gigantic guy, and that was Jelani Woods. He had 25 catches, and that's 3 years combined. All right. Now, this one was a little rough because Trey McBride kind of fits whatever, and Greg Dulcich, but they were both kind of these route running guys. Trey McBride, 221 receptions. Greg Dulcich, 41. Like, you're talking three consecutive years of tight end being the most difficult to translate from college to the NFL, and your guys that can run clean routes, they translate almost instantaneously. Your big O, oh, this dude could block through whatever, and he's a size mismatch. They don't work. They don't work. Not early. I mean, shoot. Theo Johnson and Michael Mayer, that's it. Guys that really have not panned out at all to where they were drafted. Ben Sinnott, Tip Ripman, Darnell Washington. You remember him? Darnell Washington was supposed to be the guy. Nope. Payne Durham? Nope. I loved him. Nope. Jelani Woods? Nope. Yeah, freak athleticism and size. Oh, man. No. No. Give me the guy that can run routes and can catch balls. That translates. That translates. It's easier to forecast. Good routes will always find a way to win in the NFL. I'm sorry I don't see that in Tyler Warren. Doesn't mean he's not going to be great. And especially with this deep tight end class, even if you don't get any one of those guys. Here's what's crazy. You go back to the 2017 tight end class, and I talked about this earlier. Three first-round tight ends. O.J. Howard was that huge freak. This prospect can't miss. Even if he doesn't work in the passing game, he's such a good blocker. Well, guess what? He missed everywhere he went. Then you had the kind of all-purpose guy, David Njoku. He's panned out. And then you had the route runner, Evan Engram. Three first-round tight ends went. I think you could see that again this year. O.J. Howard and Tyler Warren are pretty damn close. Size-wise, tape-wise, potential-wise. Everybody was so happy about O.J. Howard. He wasn't even the best tight end that round. Evan Engram and Harold Fannin Jr. are very, very similar, by the way. But Harold Fannin Jr. can block like a mofo. Whatever. Colston Loveland, David Njoku. Yeah, there's a lot there. Njoku's a more dynamic athlete for sure. But the funny thing is about that 2017 class, the tight end class, none of those guys were the best tight ends. None of them were. We all know who was. It was George Kittle. He was the ninth tight end taken that year. George Kittle. In the fifth round. Now, you look at this tight end class, and I mean, it is just off of the freaking charts, man. Colston Loveland, awesome. Harold Fannin Jr., awesome. Tyler Ward, awesome. Rondae Gadsden, good. Mason Taylor, Gunnar Helm. I'm not even, this is no particular order. I would not be shocked. The number nine tight end, Jackson Hawes, like, So again, in a class where you have so many dynamic options, why would you overspend at the 11 for a tight end two? 49ers were the most 12 personnel packages out there. 12 means one running back, two tight ends. But they get 20 snaps a game. You're going to take Kittle off the field? I'm not saying you need two tight ends added to this roster at some point through free agency of the draft. And would I be happy about having Tyler Warren? Hell yeah, I would be. Might even buy a jersey. But it's just a misuse of resources. And if you do, man, I want that good route runner. I would take the good route runner every day of the week. And then later in the draft, get your big guy that can help block. Well, that's pre-scoring. I mean, shoot, there are some big old dudes. If we just look at, like, these giant guys, right, that are in this draft or whatever, Tyler Warren, 6'6", cool. Jake Brenningstone, 6'6". Luke Lachey, 6'6". Kaden Prescorn, 6'6". Thomas Fedorn, 6'6". Matavio, 6'6". Like, you can get those huge dudes. You don't have to spend a first-round pick to do so. That's kind of where I stand. And I like Warren. I don't like Warren as much as the general public, and I just always kind of push back against, man, I don't know. Lori, does he remind you of Kyle Pitts? No. Kyle Pitts runs bad routes, refuses to block. He's just a slot wide receiver. That's really all he is, and he doesn't run good routes. You're drafting an athletic profile, and again, you draft tight ends high, it does not work out. It's not just Kyle Pitts. There's so many of them. I'm staying away. We just talked about O.J. Howard, right? I just don't. Tight end. One, also, if you draft a tight end in that first round early, like pick 11, you're paying him top of the market tight end money year one. Tight end's cheap. You ain't got to pay them. So if you draft somebody that high at pick 11, they better be a Pro Bowler better. They better be what we saw last year with the Raiders guy, Brock Bowers. Like, that's what you better get. Otherwise, it's not worth it. I'm sorry. I'm staying away. I'm staying away, man. And again, even if they took Colson Loveland, who I have number one, I would be pissed. I would be upset. It's a misuse of draft capital and a misuse of resources. I would much rather get somebody in the second round like a Mason Taylor, or Rojo, if he's healthy. We'll see what happens. He got injured in the Senior Bowl. They pulled him out of the combine. Like, I want two tight ends, one in free agency or two in the draft. But, man, Terrence Ferguson ain't bad. There's so many that are just freaking awesome that I'd be very happy with. Anyway, that's my tight end talk. Now, I had a question about going into more depth on the salary cap in the future. Okay, I keep saying 2026 salary cap is going to be ginormous. You're going to see the biggest jump in the NFL salary cap era since it's happened. It's going to be huge. Here's why I say that, okay? I went through and I just, again, put percentages and how much the cap increase was each year. Now, when COVID hit, you knew you were going to have some rough years. Okay, because the 49ers lost so much revenue, the revenue is a direct correlation to how much the salary cap is going to be the following year. So how the 49ers or how the NFL does in 2024 determines how much salary cap you have in 2025. It's part of the CBA collective bargaining agreement and the percentage between the owners and the players' union. Now, when COVID happened and the NFL lost a lot of money, they didn't lose money. They just didn't make what they were projected to make. They had to spread out the loss to mitigate the cap just dropping completely. So they spread out all the cap hits over the next four corresponding years, 2021 through 2025. When they did that, it's going to end in 2025, but we just got those cap numbers. So let's go through year by year the amount of increase and the percentage, which is always probably the most important, right? We get lost in the numbers whenever you hear these million-dollar figures. It's just kind of like, man, what do you do with that? Well, let's talk percentages. In 2022, the salary cap was $208 million. It was a 12% increase, or $16 million, okay? So a $16 million jump to the following year, to 2023. Well, the salary cap that year was $224 million. Only a 7% jump after that, again, $16 million. So you can kind of see those percentage points, how they start to change. Then it jumped 12%, and then this past year jumped 9%. Well, I am projecting, this is just John Chapman numbers, whatever, do with it what you will, a 14% jump increase after for 2026. So again, 12% increase, 7, 12, 9. I'm expecting a 14 or more. Again, 14, I think I'm going to be on the low side here. That would be the salary cap in 2025 is going to be around $280 million. It's going to jump over $40 million next year. The jump this year from 2024 to 2025 was $23 million increase. It's going to be a $40 million increase. It's going to jump gigantic. Now, so what? What does this mean for us as 49ers fans? It all has to go back to that. Cash spending teams, the 49ers are definitely in the small group of those, are getting the biggest advantage. Why? There's no minimum salary cap. Some teams don't spend. Some teams pocket everything. The 49ers roll forward cap increases, restructure deals all the time, heavy cash, payout, top-tier money. You look at top-paid players, right? You've got Bosa. You're about to have Brock Purdy. You've got Trent Williams. You've got Fred Warner. You've got Ayuk now. You've got all these different contracts that you pay a lot of money. Christian McCaffrey, top of their position. Well, the 49ers have structured that to where all this cash is going out, and they pocket and renegotiate. Look at the Javon Hargrave. You're going to cut Javon Hargrave. You're going to cut Debo. You're cutting these massive, major, top of their position deals, but the 49ers don't really care. Are there cap implications? Yes, but there's bigger cash implications, which means hurts Jed York a little bit, helps out the salary cap considerably. You look at the effective cap spending per year, 49ers at the top of the list. Top of the list every damn year. Every year. So, like, if you look at the 49ers, now, man, it won't let me go back to last year. But the effective cap spending is what is so big. Like, for example, the 49ers, can I filter this? There we go. Won't let me filter it on here. Let me go to the other site. Sorry, I'm bouncing around. Yeah, I apologize. But I'm trying to find the best way to just explain. Like, you see what they're spending, the active cap spending and all those things. The 49ers are amongst the top of the list every single time. Total cap, they're up there every single time. But whenever you look at cap space, they always have wiggle room. Why? Because of the cash influx. They spend the cash, renegotiate, signing bonuses and avoid years and all these things. That helps the 49ers because they are not afraid to lose cash whenever it comes to the cap. And that's why the 49ers are allowed to have all of these top paid contracts at all these different positions because they spend money. A lot of owners won't do that. And that's why you have the Bengals sitting there saying, "Oh, trade me, trade me, trade me, trade me." Because that ownership ain't going to pay money. They don't do it. And that's what gets them in problems. So with the cap increase, and it's going to continue with new TV deals. I know we all hate the Paramount Plus and, oh, it's going to be over on Netflix. Every time that happens, it's frustrating. I'm with you. Just know this increases the salary cap, which gives an advantage to teams like the 49ers that do spend money. That do spend money. So, Oscar, so giving Purdy $55 million doesn't hurt much, especially when we constantly roll forward money. I'm saying if there was ever a time to do a giant quarterback deal, 2025 is a pretty damn good year to do it. Because you're operating under the current understanding of the salary cap before it explodes. So you're going to pay this top of the market money deal, and it's going to happen. Brock Purdy's going to get paid. Probably going to be more than $55 million per year in my own estimation, but that's okay. If there ever was the time to do it, this year is it. This year is it because you're getting it under the old cap rules before the new cap explosion in 2026, if that makes sense. The 49ers and everybody understands that the timing is impeccable. Could not have gone better for the 49ers. Could not have gone better. I'm pretty freaking excited about that. And plus, I love it when players get paid. Generational wealth, I freaking love it. Now, I probably should have adjusted my notes here David R., appreciate you, buddy. He says, can we talk about Jalen Moore? Been the 49ers kind of swing tackle, really just Trent Williams' replacement. Trent, he's old. He's going to be dealing with some injuries, no doubt about it. But the question is this, could Jalen Moore be the long-term left tackle? Man, I don't think so. Is he coming off of his best year? Yes. And I'm okay with Jalen Moore as like a replacement player, my number three tackle. I'm cool with that. He's a free agent now. You'd have to re-sign him, and I hope they bring him back. But I don't re-sign Jalen Moore if I'm going to draft a tackle. Now, that's kind of hard because free agency is about to take place before the NFL draft. You have to do some kind of foreshadowing. Are we going to draft a tackle in the first few rounds? Days one, day two. If we are, I'm not sure you sign Jalen Moore. I'm really, really not. Now, again, let's go back over. Let's see what his projection is going to be. Jalen Moore, left tackle. What's the valuation that they have on him? About a $2 million contract. That's not enough reason. So if you do sign Jalen Moore and draft somebody, $2 million isn't enough to push you away. That's over the cap's evaluation of him. I wouldn't be upset with that at all. Again, just kind of putting yourself, and it's a 49ers move, to be honest with you. Bringing back Jalen Moore as your number three tackle. You've got Colton McKivitz. If you draft another guy, whoop-de-doo. Jalen Moore's played inside. He hasn't done well. Colton McKivitz could kick inside. He hasn't done well there either. Those are there. So I'm cool bringing back Jalen Moore, but he should not pro. You should never have he's our long-term plan at left tackle. Now you sign him in free agency to a one-year, $2 million deal. You get to pick 11, and sure enough, three offensive tackles are off the board, and it's just not going to work for us. You get to the second round. Your second round offensive tackles are off the board. Again, what three positions always get bumped up in the draft? Quarterbacks, edge rushers, offensive tackles. You don't control how the draft goes. You can manipulate the board by trading up and down. But, man, sometimes tackles fly off the board more often than not. So let's say the Niners did have a guy. Mine's Kelvin Banks Jr. from Texas. If he's there at 11, I'm drafting him. Maybe he's gone. I don't think he's going to make it to 11. Maybe he will, though. Well, all right. Second round. There's some guys that, man, if they drop, we're going to take them. But they don't make it there. Some of the guys that, like Irsi, that dude, he's going to have a combine and a freaking half. Josh Simmons maybe doesn't fall that far. Josh Connerly doesn't fall that far. Those are my second round guys. Said, man, we missed out on our first round guys. We missed out on our second. Okay, let's get to the third round. We're going to take an offensive tackle. Well, Anthony Belton's gone. Emory Jones is gone. Ozzie Trapillo's gone. Well, okay, we got some day three guys. We're interested. You see what I'm saying? Like, you kind of have to go through that. And that happens. So, fortifying, look, Jalen Moore, nothing to write home about. Nobody's excited. But we didn't lose any games because of him. Yeah, Trent Williams 100 times better. Everybody understands that, even at his age. But when Jalen Moore came in, he did not cost us. So I would sign him. But yeah, right here. David, John, where does Irsery get drafted? This is Minnesota, Ariante Irsery. Just athletic freak, man. And if you look at just what he's going to do, like, this is the lowest it's going to be. Because once he puts on that spectacle, you know, 6'5", 339, and he's going to move, man. This to 18 miles per hour on his GPS tracker at 340 pounds. I think back into the first, early second, that's kind of where he's going to go. The film's good. Frame, strength, finisher, rare strength and aggression. Best short area burst in the draft. It's his own fit. It's his own fit. Yeah, he's a fun player. Only gave up one sack this year. I think second round's where he should go. But again, tackles always get pushed up. Tackles always get pushed up. Yeah, right here. Yeah, Beau or Savonnet. Yeah, I like Marcus Beau a lot better out of Purdue. Again, third round type guy. Anthony Belton, third round top guy. What's up, David Gill? Hoping they get Drew Dahlman in free agency. That would make me happy. Oh, Drew Dahlman would solve so many problems, the center. I want Ryan Kelly more, but the young buck, I'd be cool with that as well. Zabel, man, you know, I'm toying with like a question back and forth. Like, if the 49ers took Gray Zabel at 11, not smart. I'm not advocating they do it. But I wouldn't be mad. Why? Because it would mean we have a center for the future. Right now, the 49ers don't. I don't think we have a center for the present. The center is a major issue. Would I draft Gray Zabel at 11? Hell no, I would not. I think that would be a huge miss. But I'm guaranteeing I'm getting a center. That's going to change everything for this offense. And I really like Gray Zabel. Is he worth the 11 pick? Probably not. But is it going to be a miss? I don't think it is. That dude's going to play football for a long damn time. For a long damn time. God, I want a center so freaking bad. I want a center so freaking bad. Ugh. Right here. Where did you have George Kittle ranked in 2017? I didn't go that deep. 2017 is when we started this draft. We started 2017, but it wasn't like I just had my own personal notes. Like, we didn't have video back then. Man, we're at episode goodness. And I know, Austin, you've been here for a long time. I appreciate you, brother. This is episode 1344. We've been doing 9 years. So when the draft hits, we're in year 9. But yeah, I did not have rankings like that at that point. I knew who George Kittle was, but I didn't like him as like a day one or day two guy. Neither did the 49ers. But yeah, I didn't even have rankings back then. So yeah, it's interesting. Jumping back in the past, like, I can look back at my rankings because now we've been doing them for, I think, 6 or 7 years consecutively. And like, man, there's certain guys that I hit home runs on and I miss guys. I missed a lot of guys. I had that Josh Rosen quarterback number one year. That didn't go well. But I actually graded out probably better that draft if you look at the other ones. But yeah, and there's going to be misses. Why are there always misses? We don't have access, you know, content creators like myself. You don't have access to injury reports, medical checks, and you don't have access to off-the-field stuff. And that's huge. Right here in Vader, yeah, the injury Simmons suffered has ended careers. I'm not taking him at 11. I'm not. I'm avoiding Simmons as well. But if he's there at 43, yeah, if we didn't go offensive tackle the first, yeah, maybe. But the Niners take those guys off their board. I don't think he's going to be on the board. Right here, amateur draft scout, love the title. I see people love Willie Lampkin from North Carolina. I see center all over him. Yeah, that's a Kruger guy. He talks about him all the time. He's a fun player. North Carolina, yeah. Coastal Carolina, North Carolina, he's a mean guy. I'd be happy. You just give me a damn center, please. That's all I want. I want centers and defensive tackles. Let's just make it happen. Let's go. Now, again, real quick update before we jet out of here. Thursday at 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, we're going to have our Zoom hangout meeting over on the 49ersRush.com. Go sign up if you haven't yet. 7-day free trial. Also, I'm going to be on KMBR a little bit later tonight. I'm not sure the time yet, but I think it's around 6-ish. But yeah, so if you're local and you listen to KMBR, check me out on there. Appreciate the support. But we will be live tomorrow. I'm trying to get back into things. I literally have not unpacked yet. Just got all the suitcases in and saw the news for the 49ers. Logan, I love this. Hashtag Chapman wants a damn center. I do. I want one so bad. And to Strawberry Reacts, was it confirmed Simmons was the patella? I have seen the Albert Breer report right after it happened. That was a patella tear. I have also seen all the ACL. I've never seen an actual official from a school or from an actual, like, Albert Breer knows what he's talking about, but I don't think he's doubled down on it. I don't know. And so I've asked, and people just keep sending me the same two things that happened 10 months ago without anything official. I do not know. And again, there's a major difference between an ACL tear for Josh Simmons versus a patella tear. I don't know what that is. And so I don't know the answer because we can't get the accurate information. It's what it is. But the NFL teams will. So either way, probably staying away. If it's patella, hell yeah. I'm not even taking it in the second round if it's patella. Staying away. Well, this is episode 1344. I have to say thank you to you guys, the Countdown crew. And for Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, and David Gill, our executive producers. That's going to do it for us today. And until next time, stay strong, faithful.